This week on the Time Bat Show.
It's your memory of falling in love with Fishman is
gone. If you fucking went back in time after doing it with a Fishman, you didn't remember, and then you wake up next to a Fishman in bed. Everyone, and welcome to episode number 54 of the Time Bat Show. I'm Time Asus.
And I am Bat Snacks.
And this is our 54th episode.
Hooray.
Are you excited today for the 54th episode?
Yeah. I feel like I have to say something like anecdotal about every episode number. So this one, if you add 5 and 4 together, it's 9, wow. Which is almost 10. So there you have it.
You've become like the what does this number represent guy.
This is your numerology segment with
with Bat Snacks.
That's what we can start every episode with. I say the number, and then you're like, and then we right immediately transition to numerology with Bat Snacks. You're like, the number 54 has a lot of significance to the Mayans, where they used it to predict the alignment of the stars or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
You should look up like fun number facts for the episode, like pre-show.
Wikipedia has lots of those. I've read those for like hours.
So next episode for 55, like come up with all the good number things.
I'm gonna do that.
This just reminded me of a topic. I know we have like stuff on the agenda today, but I want to get this out first because I'm gonna forget otherwise.
Let's do it.
We've talked about this before, how I have obsessive compulsive disorder. I'm like an obsessive compulsive kind of guy, and you have talked about your, I know you're not that, but you have weird obsessions that you do as well. And I know we've talked about this before, but like when you're changing the volume on something, it needs to be like an even number. You know, we've talked about this before.
There are exceptions, but yeah.
Right. But you're the same way, right? You need to be, like, it needs to be even, generally speaking. Yeah.
And it's weird, because if I know it's an odd number, it'll, like, it actually won't sound good to me.
Right, it's like 13 or, like, 19 is, like, awful. Yeah. But so I was in my car yesterday, and I was turning the volume up and down or whatever. And my wife knows my little weirdness about this. And I turn the volume up to 15, and my wife turns it to 16 instinctively because she knows. She's like, oh, it's on 15. And I was like, oh, no, 15's okay. And she's like, but that's not an even number. And I was like, the phrase that I uttered was kind of profound. I said, oh, 5 is an honorable even number, like an honorary even number.
But, like, 15 isn't even 5.
No, I know, but I thought, like, 5 is kind of an honorary even number. Because, and here's my logic, okay?
Let's hear this.
Because,
I love logic like
because this. Because this is the weird way my brain works. So, the number system we use is decimal, and it's based on the number 10.
Yes.
And half of 10 is 5, so 5 is, like, 2 in a way, you know? It's like, it's its own honorary even number. It's half of 10, and 10 is the most important of all the numbers, you could say.
You know, if you divide any even number in half, you get an odd number, but, like, 2 is kind of, like, the best even number.
Sure,
and, like, exactly. 5 is, like, the 2 of 10.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I mean. 5 is, like, the 2 of 10. Exactly.
I'm glad that makes sense. No, I get it.
So, like, when I use volume settings, the numbers that are acceptable are any even number. Obviously, 10 is, like, ideal. Like, if you do a multiple of 10, that's right in the sweet spot. It's, like, 10, 20, whatever. But, like, if you need to be something in the middle, 15 is very good. You know, 15 is right, is also in the sweet spot.
I've never thought of that before, so I don't use 15 personally.
Use 15.
But mine are, it's either even or it has to be or 33 or 66.
Why?
Or like
because those are...
Yeah.
See, I feel like 15 makes more sense than 33.
Well, 33, if you add 3 and 3, it's 6, and 6 is the first perfect number, and 33 is also one-third of 100, and
so
100
is the
like
first perfect number because of 3 times... Wait, because it's perfect square kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a 1 plus 2 plus 3 equals 6.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. See, it's we all have our own... That's logical.
Yeah,
we all have our own logic.
Just different rules.
I love how we both have different rules. Like, you're like, well, mine is 33 is because 3 plus 3 is 6. And I'm like, well, 5 is half 10, and 10's really important, so that's fine. So anyway, that's just the weird way my brain works, I guess. Anyway, what we had a lot to talk about this show, and I completely got us off course in the beginning
of the episode. I can take us further off course if you want.
Oh, let's just go. Why not?
So this whole, like, number insanity that both of us seem to do for whatever reason, my, like, a lot of my social interactions are like this too. Like, when with meeting new people.
Yeah.
I think the reason I've been analyzing this recently. I think the reason I struggle at first with meeting new people is there's, like, a giant rule book for, like, interacting with me.
And I don't tell people the rules. Does it go both ways, or is it just one way?
Oh, no. I obviously abide by all of my own rules.
Sure. Okay.
I'm not a hypocrite.
But they don't know your rules.
No. And some of the rules are like the 2 of 10.
Like what?
You know what I mean.
Yeah, give an example.
For an example, this happened to me very recently. I met someone for the first time, and they were immediately using swears around me, like saying bad words. Sure. And I'm, you know, I'm fine with that. I like swears. I think they're great. They add like a little zing to the conversation.
A little flavor.
But someone that I've just met has not earned that yet.
That the respect to throw all these out all the place.
Yeah. Like, I feel like swears kind of make what you're saying shameless in a way.
Yeah.
And you should... I'm a shameful person.
Uninhibited, almost.
Yeah. You know? Like, I'm not ready to know what you care that strongly about yet.
Yeah, because we just met.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear you. That makes sense. Yeah, so that's like a rule.
Yeah.
So it has to... They have to earn your trust first before they can swear all over the place.
Yeah, or I have to, like... care about what they say first.
like if it's worth
maybe not. I've never met someone before, but I know that they're like they've done cool stuff, and I just know we'll get along.
You're interested in what they have to say.
Yeah, but if I've never met them before, I don't know what they do or what they're into, then no, saying swear words will offend
me. Interesting. Yeah. That is interesting. I feel like I have similar rules. The problem I have, I don't know what my rules are, though.
Until someone crosses.
Until someone crosses them, and like, nope, you're out of the game. You lost.
And then you just think to yourself, well, this is never going to work.
Like, yep. And then I just politely listen to the rest of the conversation and then walk away. And then I'm like, never going to talk to you again.
Say, it is what it is.
This is my problem with stuff. I should probably... preface this podcast with I had a few drinks before the episode started. So,
was there any interesting story leading up to?
Let's just get that out of the way. You mean why I drank? Why
I had drinks? Like, you don't have to say, but was there any like cool anecdotal?
Oh, there was at work at like 4 o'clock. They had like a beer brewing competition thing. And they provided, like, some beer and wine, and
I Oh, so, like, people you work with brew their own beer?
Like, a few of them did, and they threw, like, a party-ish kind of thing for it, and I went over there, and I partook because it was free, and I've been feeling a little, you know, depressed lately, so it was a good thing for me to do.
That's good.
Made me feel better about myself a little bit, you know, so... As alcohol is wont to do, as they say. I just wanted to preface that in case I sound like I'm slurring or doing anything weird with my vocal patterns today. I'll try to eloquate. No, that's the wrong word. Yeah. Eloquate? Eloquate? I don't know. What's the word I'm looking for?
Enunciate.
Thank you. I feel like eloquate is a thing.
Eloquate should be a word, but I don't think it is.
You know what? You knew where I was going with this. I'll try to enunciate.
You quate the eloquence.
You quate the eloquence real good. I'll try to enunciate more.
Yeah.
Enunciate. So anything happening over the last week that you'd like to talk about over the show?
Yeah, we both saw Blade Runner.
We both did see Blade Runner. We talked about that on the last episode, and we were very excited to see Blade Runner, and we both saw it. And the original is, like, one of my favorite movies ever. So I have a lot of opinions about the new one.
So do I.
And I told you, I think, to come with your star rating out of 5.
Oh, I didn't have this ready.
Well, just think about it for the next second or two.
What is your star rating?
I'm not going to tell you. We're going to say it at the same time.
Okay.
So you just have to get out of five. You can use half stars. You can
this is not an easy movie to do this with.
I know. I'm just saying. You got to do your star. You do 3, 3.5, 4, 4.5, 5. If you didn't like it, 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5. You know, whatever you want. That's what you got. I already have mine locked and loaded. Okay. I've thought about this for a while. It moved up half a star since I decided.
Is it you have an even half star?
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not telling you.
All right, I've got it.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Say it at the same time.
All right, countdown.
3, 2, 1.
3.8
stars. 3.8. You can't do 0.8.
But it's I don't want to give it a 4.
You either have to round it down or round it up.
Three I would round it four. Up then. Round
You're
it
gonna
up.
You're going to do it 4? So yeah. We both rated the same thing, 4 yeah. stars. Wow, that's pretty good. So originally, I walked out of the movie, and I was like, that's a 3.5 star movie. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it for a little while, and I was like, that's a 4 star movie. What did you think?
As far as new movies go, it's for sure a 4 star movie.
Yeah, I would say that too. Yes, for sure.
So the reason it's not 5, and I think it could have been, mm-hmm. is... there are a lot of really amazing things that they do in the movie,
mm-hmm.
but they don't quite put them all together in a really amazing way. Like modular, individual, amazing
things. Explain what you mean by that.
So the sounds in the movie, I've never heard sounds in a movie that were like this before.
They were pretty interesting.
Yeah. Good. I don't know if you can call it a soundtrack, but it was like this weird noise experimental, like... really heavy, and
it was like ambient almost.
Yeah, it was really scary, and
it was like, cool.
It was cool.
It's kind of disorienting sometimes too.
Yeah, so the sounds in the movie are really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
All of the shots in the movie are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree.
It has an extremely good opening scene.
Oh yeah,
A lot of really good concepts in it.
Dave Bautista was great in the movie.
Yeah.
Let's not spoil it too much, but he's in the opening of the movie, and he's great. He's fantastic.
Yeah, every second he's on film is the best part of the whole movie.
I agree with you there.
Yeah.
I agree. I think he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. And so I think this is maybe the first movie to capture kind of what a Philip K. Dick novel really is all about. I think they really nailed the feel of his novels, because... mm-hmm. The thing about Philip K. Dick is his, as far as forming a cohesive, narrative that flows and, is, from point A to point B and gets there really smoothly,
he's not
very good at
that. It never does that.
Yeah, he's really bad at that.
Now that you say that, that actually makes me appreciate Blade Runner 2049 more.
Yeah, no, they captured the feel of his books extremely well, because his books are more
they're all over the place.
He did a bunch of meth one night and had a cool idea.
And he wrote all of them down. And then he's like, these all need to go into this book, but I don't really know how to do that.
And he just crams them all in there.
But he gets it, and it works somehow.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the story, you're like, that all kind of made sense.
Yeah. There's so much cool stuff that you can kind of look past
mm-hmm.
It not really making too much
sense. It's really interesting you say that, because the biggest issue I had with the movie is exactly what you just said. There was a lot of ideas in the movie, a lot. In a good way. But it almost felt like they tried to cram too many things in there, and it kind of lost that focus of the narrative. Where the original Blade Runner is a very, if you think about it, it's a very simple movie. Mm-hmm. It's a very focused movie. It's only really about one or two things. This new one's about a bunch of things at the same time, and they're jumping all over the place. They're doing all these different scenes because they're interesting and cool. And I really liked them, but it didn't seem like they coalesced a lot. It didn't really focus on a single thing. But now that you bring up the Philip K. Dick kind of thing, that's kind of how the books work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I like the book so much, because he's not afraid to be we're gonna spend the next 20 pages on this random thing that I wanna talk about, or whatever. So
Some books you would read for the long narrative, but if you're reading his books, it's because you want the most amount of cool ideas per minute possible.
Sure, and each scene has its own neat things. That's interesting. Even if it's never touched upon again, it's okay, that's really cool. And I feel like Blade Runner 2049 definitely had that going on, quite a bit.
So let's talk about the big one, and that's Hollow Girl.
Yeah, she is the big, like, okay, this doesn't really have anything to do with the main plot, but it's like a fun thing that they added in the the movie. Joy, I think, was her name.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, I can't go into this too much without having spoilers, but that's...
Yeah, it's really hard.
There's like a journey with her character, if you can call it that, that kind of matches what's happening in the movie.
Kay, the main character of Blade Runner 2049, has a kind of holographic girlfriend. It's not
companion.
Really, companion. If you've ever seen the movie Her, it's very similar to that. She's like, she's not real. She's like a AI, and she's like his girlfriend, and she has like a holographic thing. And they spend a significant chunk of the movie on this. Like, I was surprised at how much of the movie she was in, she was part of, almost to the degree I was like, all right, let's move on from the frickin' holographic girlfriend and get right back to the
there was a lot of hollow.
Like, I was like, holy shit, they're really spending a lot of time on this. But they did it because they wanted to, like, they had this, obviously, this idea of, like, okay, if replicants aren't humans, well, what does this mean? Like, if replicants could be considered humans, what does this mean for AI holographic projections? You know, they wanted to, obviously, jump to the next, you know, step over.
The cool thing about the Hollow Girl, I don't remember her name, but...
Joy.
Yeah, the cool thing about Joy is the more you learn about her, the less human she seems.
Yep. There's a scene near the end of the movie that I don't want to spoil, but it kind of gives way to, like, okay, she doesn't. Yeah. She's just a program.
Yeah, like, but before that scene, there's maybe an argument that she's a sentient program somehow. Like, that she has, you know, awareness or something, kind of like a human would. But after this scene, you kind of learn, like, wow, that's maybe
that
just a really
specific
good illusion.
Scene did not, like, it didn't hit me immediately. I was just like, okay. But then, like, after I thought about it, I was like, wow, that I see what they were trying to do there. Like, they were trying to paint her in a different light. But, yeah, they spend a lot of the movie on her.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, romance with Hollow Girl.
Mm-hmm.
For better or worse. They just needed one.
I feel like I like the idea of her character a lot. And I realize, I know why they did it, because they needed Ryan Gosling's character to have, like, an ally, because he didn't really have any allies. So she was kind of his, like... She was almost his, like, conscience. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In a way, like, she was, like, the guiding light, almost. You know, like, oh, you can do it. Like, cheer him up and, you know, like, oh, you can do it. Like,
yeah,
blah, blah,
it's his
blah,
only
blah.
Friend. And it's, like, super sad because...
Yeah. She's a hologram. She's a robot. Yeah. Or AI. Like, so I can see why they did that, but, like... They really spent a lot of time on her, and I almost feel like they could have... I almost feel like the movie would flow a little better if they removed her from the movie a little earlier, if you catch my drift.
I want to go into spoilers so bad. There's a scene with her that's really good.
There's a bunch of scenes that are really good.
One in particular.
Which one are you talking about?
The sex scene was really good.
It was really weird is what it was.
I know. I like that kind of weird.
It was weird. It was really awkward. And
it made me so uncomfortable.
And uncomfortable. Okay, so, and that was the whole point of the thing.
As an aside, I saw this with my parents. And
oh, no.
There's a lot of nudity in this movie.
Is there? Like, I guess there is. Yeah.
There's like butts and like other parts everywhere. Like,
that's true.
They're all over the place.
You want me to tell you my least favorite part of the whole movie?
What was it?
It was the scene with Joy. And there's a scene, this isn't really spoilery. Ryan Gosling is in the police station doing his little detective work. And he's on this machine that does this detective stuff. And he's like looking through the files or whatever. And there's this really big plot reveal regarding Ryan Gosling's character that happened maybe 10 minutes earlier. That wasn't like a slap in your face kind of thing. It was like a subtle buildup. And the audience is kind of just now like clicking these pieces together, if you will.
Yeah.
And Joy comes out of his little pocket, as she does, while Ryan Gosling is doing this police work. And she just freaking like flat out says exactly what the like the twist is. Whereas the audience is trying to like compute that like at the same time, and she just like basically just flat out says it, and it's like you're just and she just spells it out like as clear as day, and it was really annoying for me because like I like putting the pieces together slowly in a movie, especially in like a movie like this, but to just come out and say it, it just feels like the studio was like, oh, the audience is gonna get this. Let's have Joy come out here and like really explain obviously what's going on right now.
Yeah. I hate when they treat the audience like idiots. Like,
yeah. That's what it felt like to me. It's like, oh, the audience isn't gonna get this. Let's let Joy tell him. Because they're like, well, who else can do it? Ryan Gosling can't, character can't do it. Joy the robot, she can, she's a robot, she can do it. You know, she can tell the audience what to think. And I just, I didn't like that at all. It really annoyed me.
My least favorite scene was the last scene in the whole movie.
Why didn't you like that scene?
Because it kind of hurts my theory that I want to be true. So
oh, I like the scene for what it was. Without spoiling, this is hard to do without spoiling. But yeah, it's the scene with Deckard's character. Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a powerful scene.
It doesn't kill my theory, but it makes it.
We should,
because like, they're really hammering something.
We should do a side podcast just Blade Runner spoilers.
Yeah. And I have a really awesome theory about this movie that because
I don't
so want to
spoil
cooler.
It for our audience because it's only been out for a week. And that, if you like science fiction, you need to see this movie.
Yeah,
it's very important. Even if you don't, I mean, even like I could see people not liking this movie, but I think it's still worth watching.
Yeah.
My biggest criticisms is Joy is a little overbearing at times. I think they could have cut her out. It spells out stuff like a little too crazy for me. And then it's a long movie.
Yeah.
It's almost too long.
I mean, all of the scenes were beautiful, but there's a lot of Ryan Gosling walking very slowly.
Slowly, yes, there is a lot of that. There's also a lot of dialogue in the movie, which I don't mind dialogue, but a lot of the dialogue in the movie felt almost unnecessary. Like it was just them kind of going over what they've already done.
Yeah, like they would talk and talk and talk, and then there'd be Gosling and he's just walking so slowly again, and then he talks to somebody else.
And I think it's the same kind of thing where like, it doesn't trust its audience to like get what's going on. So it's like, oh, we need dialogue here. Otherwise the audience is not going to know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're like, oh, we need Ryan Gosling's character to overly explain or Joy to overly explain what's happening. But I will say the opening scene didn't really have a lot of dialogue and it was like almost perfect for that. Cause it was just the right amount where you could just kind of tell, you know,
what's happening.
It was what's happening without them just overly blah, blah, bloviating all over the place.
I think if people watch this movie, that there's a chance they'll be frustrated with how slowly the mystery gets revealed.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think my parents were really frustrated by that because it takes a long time to know what's going on with certain things.
The other thing that takes a long time, and this kind of is a spoiler, it takes a really long time for Harrison Ford's character to show up in the movie.
It does.
Deckard. And once he gets into the movie really starts firing on all cylinders, I feel like. It starts getting exciting. The mystery starts getting really interesting. The intrigue starts, you know, going up. Like, all the villains are congregating. You know what I mean? Like, all the stuff is happening right when he enters the movie. But before he enters the movie, it's kind of a slow burn to get to him. And it's a lot of, like, being patient with it.
It's very Fallout New Vegas-y. Like, once he gets to Harrison Ford, you're at New Vegas. That's
right, and you're like, this is awesome. But getting there is like, okay, this is taking a while.
Yeah.
But other than that, I liked it a lot. I'm going to see it again soon, I'm sure. So 4 stars for me, 4 stars for you, huh?
Yeah.
That's good. All right, well, there's other movies that are coming out soon that I think you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, so this weekend, I'm debating either seeing Blade Runner again, or I might go see a Jackie Chan movie.
Or both.
I could do a walk out of one and go in the other.
What is the Jackie Chan movie?
I don't know what it's called, but...
But it's Jackie Chan in it, so...
It's Jackie Chan, and you've seen Taken, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen all the Takens. I think this is, like, his Taken.
Jackie Chan's Taken?
Yes. It's like Jackie Chan needs to beat up a lot of people to do something.
Oh, that sounds great. It sounds, like, great.
It sounds amazing, doesn't it? Like,
say no more.
I don't think his daughter gets stolen, but it's...
Oh, have you heard... They're considering making a Rush Hour 4. Jackie Chan said, like, last week, he's like, I'm in for Rush Hour 4 if Chris Tucker is in for Rush Hour 4.
That's very exciting.
Isn't it?
What?
You seem not excited.
That's weird.
That's what he said. He said, I'm in if Chris Tucker's in. And, I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. Chris Tucker is in. Like, what is he doing right now?
Yeah.
Like, he's in. Like, come on.
That was the best he ever got.
Like, if they call up Chris Tucker, like, at, like, 2:30 a.m. and, like, hey, Chris Tucker, do you want to be in Rush Hour 4? You have to answer in the next 5 seconds.
Or and we're only going to pay you a dollar.
Yeah, and we'll pay you a dollar. He'll be like, yeah, I'm in. He'd be like, yeah, I'm in. You know I'm in. I don't know. I can't do my Chris Tucker impression, but he's like, yeah, I'm in. Duh. You know, like he'll be in. But yeah, so. Rush Hour 4 might happen. We'll see. Anyway, but Jackie Chan movie.
That's all I know about the movie is that Jackie Chan's in it, and he's one of the best actors ever, and I love Jackie Chan.
Me too. Well, keep us posted if you do see it, and next week come back with the title of the movie.
The title.
That would be useful, and also like a review of the movie. Because Jackie Chan is getting a little old, so.
He is.
But, I mean, that being said, I still love Jackie Chan, so.
Yeah.
Either way. The other movie that you're excited for is Shape in the Water.
Yeah, The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water. Whatever. Shape of the Water. The new Guillermo movie, as you call
as it. As I would pronounce it, yeah.
I don't even know. I can't even fake pronounce his name as bad as you do. How do you do it again?
I don't want to do it. It's Guillermo,
is that it?
Guillermo. That's how it's spelled phonetically.
I know. It's not spelled. Anyway, Shape in the Water is coming out.
The Shape of Water.
Shape of Water, sorry. It's coming out in like a month or something. Or
yeah, it's out December 8th, I think.
Oh, you know exactly when.
I've never been so excited.
And you have... Okay, why... What have you read and watched and all this stuff about it that makes you so excited?
So, everybody knows what it's about, right?
Yeah, it's about a fish man.
So, a mute lady and a fish man fall in love.
Right. Yeah. And that's all. And that's all you need to know.
That's what else do you need, man? Like, I want to see the fish man and the lady be happy together.
Well, there's some context, right? Because the fish man. Do you know? Have you seen the trailers?
Yeah, I've read a lot about. Okay, the movie.
So the fish man is like in this like science facility being studied as a fish man, and the lady, the mute lady, I think works there as like
She's a cleaning lady.
She's like a housekeeper or something. Yeah, cleaning person, cleaning crew, and they fall in love. And I think the plot revolves around her trying to like save the fish man's life from the evil scientific research team that probably want to dissect him or whatever.
So I can condense everything that I've heard about this movie. There was an interview with. How can he say his name? Guillermo del Toro.
Well, he did it that time.
And he says that he made a really good point that this, this kind of love story between a human and
a fish.
A monster, it sort of only exists in two different ways, like in media right now. And the first way is like the Beauty and the Beast way, right?
Right.
Where their love is like kind of puritanical, actually. They never like hug, they never kiss, they never there's not any physical intimacy between them at all
until the other one becomes
human. Until he becomes human, and then it's okay. Maybe they'll get married and then they can kiss later. And the other way is kind of just a freaky kind of really bad,
it's like a
fetishy,
kinky kind
weirdness
of thing.
That's out there.
It's like I like fishmen.
I like fishmen. That's and like so it's either that or that, and there's
it's the two extremes. You're either like I love you but I don't want to touch you, or like I like fishmen,
or I like fishmen.
So this is like the middle ground.
And he said it's a movie about a bunch of misfits coming together to make what they love come true somehow.
I see.
So it's kind of like a people that have problems with the real world kind of uniting together to make like their dreams come true, which sounds really awesome and emotional.
And don't you know that I have a lot of problems with the real world, so this sounds right up my alley.
And don't you know that I love fishmen? I have a minor spoiler about the movie.
So I wanted to mention it really briefly.
Okay.
I've seen two trailers for this movie so far, and both of them are great. The first trailer really focuses on like the love story angle of the movie, where she like works in the place and she kind of falls in love with the fish man, and then the like last part of the trailer kind of goes the dark route where it's like, oh, there's a problem, like the government wants the fish man and she's worried for his safety and stuff, so there's a little tension there. But like the most of the trailer focuses really on like that kind of bond and the connection. The second trailer I watched the first like quarter of it we're focusing on the bond, and then the last three quarters like made the movie seem almost like a thriller where it was like she's got to protect the fish man and like there's the evil government coming for them, and like there's all these scenes with like the fish man like going like bah! And he's like a fish man, and so it's like whoa, like it's different, it felt like a different movie. But the reason I think they did that is because I was with my wife both times. Mm-hmm. The first time I watched the trailer, I was like, I'll see that. And my wife turned to me and was like, oh, we have to see that. It looks so good.
It's a fish man.
And then the next time, we saw the different trailer, and they had like the high tension, you know, thrillery trailer. And then after that trailer finished, I turned to my wife and be like, oh, yeah, we have to see that. So I just feel like they like tried to make it the trailers, two different trailers, so that like they would attract more audience for it. It was just an interesting thing I noticed.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know how many people will just go see a fish man romance. Like, there has to be something
else. Yeah, there
has
to be another angle there, sure. Yeah. I think it's a hard movie to sell, but I think they're doing a pretty good job with the trailers. So yeah. I'm impressed with that. And that's probably why they need two different, kind of tonally different trailers. Mm-hmm. Whereas I kind of assume the movie is going to be more the romantic angle.
Yeah.
I hope it is anyway. As much as I liked the thriller thing, like, I want that aspect of the movie, but the core of it does need to be their relationship, obviously. Yeah.
Having seen, like, all of his movies, he doesn't really do a lot of thrillery stuff. Most of it is that kind of, like, the fantasy fairy tale.
He definitely has, like, a dark edge, but all his movies really have that, like, core of, like, okay, this is kind of a romantic. Like, his movies are still romantic.
Yeah.
Not in, like, a romance way, like, in a romantic, romanticism kind of way, you know, like a fan, like you said, like, fantasy or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm looking forward to that.
Two quick spoilers about the movie.
Sure.
So first, the fishman suit is not motion capture. They actually painted Doug Jones's body and glued things to him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's a monster suit when you see it.
Awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, which is really cool.
That is really, really
cool. Second thing is, you know how I mentioned that Del Toro thinks that Beauty and the Beast is a little, you know, puritanical?
Yep.
Uh-huh. The fish man and the girl do it.
Yes! You just spoiled it for me.
It's coming. Just
well, I don't even need to see the movie now. That was the whole reason I was going to go see it, and now I'm not even going to go. I don't even need to go now. You spoiled it.
I'm sorry, but I knew, and I wish I didn't, because that would have been good to be surprised.
You realize that like half the people going to this movie are going to see it just to see if the girl and the fish man do it.
And they
like,
do.
Like, they're like, hey, do you want to see Shape in the Water? It's like, which one's that one again? Oh, it's the one with the girl and the fishman. It's like, oh, I wonder if they do it. Yeah, we got to go see that. Like, I'm serious. Like, half the people are going to go just for that.
Yeah.
Lucky you, I want to see the movie regardless of if they do it or not. But
yeah.
I'm not going to lie if that was a very big question I had in my head.
I'm glad they do it. Good. Like,
good. No, I wish you didn't tell me. Fine. I would have liked to not know. I've been surprised in the moment of the movie.
Yeah.
I wonder what song they pick to...
I can't wait. have you ever seen Armageddon? Like, yeah. I don't want to close my eyes.
We should do a whole episode about analyzing the do-it scene in Shape of the Water.
We should.
Like 45 minutes, because we probably couldn't do an hour and a half. 45 minutes just over that. Scene.
On the one fish man do it scene.
I hope it's a long scene. I hope Guillermo makes it like 5 minutes. Like, yeah. And the audience is like, come on, let's get back to the movie. Yeah. And Guillermo's like, no, man.
This is my vision.
This is my vision. And he's like, this is why I made this movie, man. This is the whole point of this movie. Have you seen Splice?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to spoil the shit out of Splice for you right now.
That's fine.
If you're a listener and you haven't seen this movie and you want to, A, don't see it, and B, I'm sorry, I'm about to spoil it for you. So, like, it's a movie about, like, people genetically engineering some weird fucking monster thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think they call it, like, a chimera or something. They use, like, human DNA and, like, DNA from some other animal to, like, genetically engineer some new species, right?
Okay.
And they eventually make something, and it's this kind of human hybrid thing, and it's like this weird little alien monster hybrid girl thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it grows up, like, really fast because I guess some of the other genes that they put in it were, like, they sped up the aging process or something.
Yeah.
And it's, like, this weird freaking, like, human monster, but it has, like, this, like, weird, like, bifurcated tail thing. And it has, like, a pushed-in nose, like, kind of like a reptile. Anyway, so they're, like, the whole movie's about, like, the ethical, moral ramifications of keeping this thing. And they're trying to decide if they should kill it or not. And eventually it, like, grows up and, like, learns language and, like, can function like a human, you know what I mean? And long story short is, like, the main scientist guy and the alien they creature.
Yes! I need to see this movie.
And I was reading an interview of the director after I saw the movie because I was like, what the fuck? Like, who would want to make this fucking movie? And the director said he made the movie specifically for the do-it scene. Like, he made it just to make that scene happen. And the scene was, like, long and uncomfortable, and I saw it in a movie theater, and it was the most uncomfortable I've ever been in a movie theater in my life. Like, you could just... The, like, tension was palpable. Like, the air... Like, you could just feel everyone in the theater sweating like, oh, and, like, no. Being like, why are we watching this? Why are we watching this movie? So, anyway, Splice. I would
thank you for telling me about that.
But at the same time, I don't know if I would recommend it, but... Yeah, so he made that movie just for that one.
For the do-it scene.
It's super disturbing. And then a really weird twist happens in the end that's even more disturbing, but I'm not even getting into that one, so.
I'm going to check that out.
Anyway, so what else is new? Is there anything else we need to talk about? Do we want to launch into questions now?
We can launch into questions if you want.
Okay. Oh, I wanted to mention really quick. I've been collecting records lately.
Oh, right, yeah, right.
Like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I like impulse bought a record player at Fry's Electronics, and since then I've spent like $200 to $300 on used records, and it's kind of an obsession now. And I've gone every weekend to hunt for stuff. Last weekend I spent $80. The week before I think I spent like $70 or $80, and the week before that I spent like $100. So yeah,
it's so kind of record players are cool though.
They are cool. They're expensive, though. It's surprising how expensive they are.
Yeah. I think, have records gone kind of the way of NES cartridges where, you know, you used to be able to get a record for maybe $10 and now it's like $100 for a record?
Yeah, it's a weird market. It's really weird because like 10 years ago, they had like this boom of like record collecting again. So it like kind of went up in price and then it like fell, right? But then since then, it's kind of rebounded. But it's strange because old records, if they're unpopular, you can still get them for dirt cheap, right? I bought, nobody is going to know who this is, but the Moody Blues is a band from the 60s that I like. And I found like all of their records. Like they have 7 that they made from 1967 to 1975. They made 7. And I found literally every single one of those for $2 a piece. So I spent like $12 and I got the entire collection. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It's like cheaper than iTunes.
Yeah, it's like incredibly cheap. And it's, you know, like hours and hours and hours and hours worth of music. On the other hand, if the band is popular, like let's say Pink Floyd, this is a great example. Their like worst record they ever recorded, even if it's used, like from the 70s, it's like $35 minimum. Like for a used, not great quality, you know what I mean?
Record. Yeah.
So it just really varies, and it's one of those weird things. And you have to kind of get lucky and be like, oh, this is cheap, let me buy it, or oh, this is really expensive, I bet I can find this for a better price somewhere else.
Yeah. So that's a good hobby. It's kind of like antiques collecting. Like that doorknob isn't worth $10.
It's fun because like once you find something that's kind of rare, that's cheap, it's like, oh, I don't know. It's more fun than just like buying stuff on the internet. You like go out and you're like, oh, this is cool. Like I was at like an antique fair like 2 weeks ago and there's records all over there. I didn't buy any, but I hunted for them like mad. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, it was just a fun experience. So.
It's probably a good way to learn more about stuff that you want to learn more about.
Oh yeah, too. For sure. Like, yeah, it is. So anyway, that's my fun hobby that I've been doing the past couple of weeks.
That sounds like a good
hobby. I would recommend it if you have a disposable income, but it's I mean, it does get expensive. Depends. Anyway, so we should just jump right into questions here. We're already at 40 minutes, man. We talked about movies for a long time. We talked
about Fishman doing it for a long time.
Hey, this is an important topic right there.
Yeah.
Okay, we have one listener question today. We only have one because our listeners, I was going to use a bad word.
Are great.
They're great. They've given us one fantastic question. The question is, if you had all the talent in the world, what would you carve a Halloween pumpkin to look like? This comes from our good friend Gio, who is our biggest fan, I believe. Thank you, Gio.
So do you want to go, like, funny or scary?
Oh, I want to go however you want to go.
Okay.
I mean, the obvious answer here, right, is, like, Donald Trump's face.
But it wouldn't last very long.
But, because it's already orange, right? Like, the pumpkin's already orange. That's...
That would be a really good ironic pumpkin.
Of course. I'm sure people have made them many a time.
You could put, like, a cigar in his mouth and, like, do all kinds of stuff with them.
Make the lips purse or whatever. but, yeah, other than that, that one's too obvious.
You could have, like, a bubble coming out the side of his mouth saying, wrong.
but if I could do it, you know what I would do? I wouldn't do, like, a face. I would carve, like, a pumpkin dragon.
That would be awesome.
Like a small dragon carved out of pumpkin, you know? Like, consider the pumpkin is, like, marble, and I'm making a sculpture, you know? That kind of deal.
Yeah. The really good pumpkins, they don't just, like, cut the eyes out and the mouth out and all that. They kind of, like, shape the skin so that it looks like...
Yep.
They, like, peel off the skin until it looks like a thing.
Yep. So my answer would be a dragon, a pumpkin dragon.
Pumpkin dragon would be cool.
What about you?
I'd like to do something, like, kind of nerdy, but, like, scary. Are there any, like, video game monsters?
What the hell
like,
is that
you could, you could like do, like, Mother Brain. That would be sick.
Mother Brain. That's a good one because it's already kind of shaped like a pumpkin.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's already a big sphere. So... Yeah.
That would be cool.
It even kind of looks like a pumpkin already.
Yeah, it looks got, like, a little bit like a pumpkin.
Why hasn't anyone done this before?
Maybe they have. I don't know. I think that would be a cool pumpkin.
Mother Brain pumpkin. If there's not a one already, I'm going to be disappointed. Okay, yeah, people have done it. Oh, no, that's not. That's the Doom thing. That's not Mother Brain.
Doom monsters would also be cool. They all kind of look like
pumpkins. Someone did a Doom monster.
Yeah.
Like the, what the hell is the big floating red one? Yeah, the floating
yeah, that's the one I was thinking of too.
Yeah, someone's done Mother Brain, but they didn't carve the whole pumpkin. They just carved like the outline into the pumpkin. You know what I mean?
You know what else would be cool? You know those monsters from Doom that are like the mechanical spiders?
Yes.
You could have like a mechanical chasis and put the pumpkin in the middle as like the
You're really going all out
spider
for
part. Thing, huh? Yeah, that would be cool too.
You're really going all out for this pumpkin thing, huh? If you were, like, really good at carving pumpkins,
yeah, then yes, but I'm not. That sounds great.
Well, get good. That could be one of the things you figure out how to do, right?
I don't think I will. How often do you get to practice carving pumpkins? You
That's
can only
true.
Get pumpkins
That's
at the
true.
Grocery store.
That's very
like,
true.
2 weeks out of the year.
So how do these people get good at carving pumpkins, I wonder?
I think they're, like, the pumpkin people that make the pumpkins.
Oh, maybe. All right, well, so you would do Mother Brain, and I'm doing a dragon. Now we're at our favorite segment, where we go into the depths of Reddit. I feel like we need, like, a jingle for this that's, like, really depressing, like... Brum, 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 brum. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done solely because you were too awkward to do the normal thing? I have a quick answer for this.
What is your quick answer?
Because I do this all the time. If I'm in a conversation, like, that's between multiple people and myself, and I feel like I'm not really in the conversation, like, I've been in the conversation, but then I'm kind of not in it anymore, like, you know, I'm not really engaged, you just walk away, and I feel like that's so awkward, but that's what I do all the time, and I'm just like, whatever, and I don't say anything, I just walk away, and I feel awkward every time. That's my, like, the thing that came to mind immediately.
If I'm in a meeting and there's, like one or two people just, like, dominating the conversation and not letting anybody talk, I'll just sit there and get really angry.
I am bad at... What's the word? I am bad at interjecting, like getting into a conversation.
Yeah.
Like I'm really bad at it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like here, like I step on your toes frequently, and I'm sorry about that. But like, in like to people that I don't know very well, like I'll just sit and listen because I'm so bad at like getting into a conversation. So no, like I think you said,
you're fine with me. Like
yeah. But like you said, like if you're in a meeting or whatever, and two people are just talking, and you're like, wait, I have a thought, and you're like, I can't do it.
It's like, okay, listen, my ideas are actually so much better than yours. It's crazy.
But all they do is blah 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 blah. Yeah. And then you're like, wait, I have a thought, and they're like, blah 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 blah, and you're like, come on, let me get a word in, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know how to get good at that, though. That's, like, the thing.
I'd rather be bad at it, because I don't want to be one of those people that's like, bah, 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 bah,
no, bah. I agree, but here's the thing. I think sometimes you need to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Like, I would like the ability to do it, and then just choose not to most of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because a lot of times I'll be in, like, a meeting, or I'll be in a conversation, people will be talking, and then I'll be like, all right, it's my turn to jump in with an anecdote, and then I'll jump in with an anecdote, and then no one will pay attention to what I have to say, and I'm like, what is happening? Why isn't my anecdote important enough for you? And I guess it's because I'm not loud enough, or I don't know the reason. It's very frustrating.
Sometimes. Yeah, that's frustrating.
Anyway. So that's your dumb thing, that you just sit there and hate people for talking? I just
sit there and hate people and get really mad.
Okay, you wake up at your current age, and it's 1974. What do you do with your day? Let's say we both, like, I wake up, and you wake up. We're obviously not together, but
we're just, like, sleeping together.
That came out wrong. Yeah. So, like, I wake up tomorrow at 1974.
I mean, maybe we did. Like, that would make it even weirder.
And then there's a fish man and a woman.
There's a fish man. He's right, in the bed too.
We got a party going on. That's what transports us back to 1974. That could be like a twist in Shape of the Water, like doing it with the fish man, like changes, makes time like
go backwards or to like before you remembered falling in love with the fish man. So you wake up, and the fish man remembers you, but he can't, like, speak English. He just, like, wiggles like, his gills, and he's like...
And he goes like... And he goes like... Blah, 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 blah. And you're like, what are you trying to say? Oh, but do you remember him at this point?
No, because your memory of falling in love with fish man is
gone. If you fucking went back in time after doing it with a fish man, you didn't remember, and then you wake up next to a fish man in bed, you would flip out. You'd be like, what the fuck is happening right now? And he's like trying to explain everything as a fish man. He's like, bah, 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 bah. And he's like trying to say, like, I love you, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh my God, get away, fishman. Yeah, get away. Oh, this is scary.
That's really sad.
Back to the question, no fishman. So sorry. So you wake up, it's 1974. Okay. And then I wake up separately in my house, and it's also 1974. And I don't know why, but let's just say I text you. Okay. Even though phones don't work, even though we don't have text messages, let's just say I somehow find a way to contact you.
Mm-hmm. Even telephone, though you're in Florida. That's what they did.
But we don't have each other's numbers in 1974.
That's true.
But whatever, we find a way to contact each other.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, and you're like, hey. And then I'm like, are you in 1974 as well? And you're like, yes, I am. And I'm like, weird, because no one else is. And now, you know, we meet up, and now we have a day in 1974. What do we do?
We got to figure stuff out.
Yeah. What do we do in 1974?
Well, it's, like, really bad, because we don't have any credentials or anything. Like, we don't have a driver's license. We have no credentials.
We have nothing. We're screwed.
We need to find a way to get money so we don't die.
Where do we go, I think, is the question. We need to go somewhere.
It's like in time travel movies, when they wind up back in the 70s, they usually go to like a diner first.
Yes, diner, that's a good call.
Yeah, we got to go to the diner first. We have to get
to each other, though, yeah. Somehow. Because you're in Florida and I'm in Texas, and we have to get there. So hitchhiking was a thing in the 90s still.
Yeah, they did that.
Mm-hmm. So one of us hitchhikes to the other. I don't know which. Mm-hmm. Which one? I don't know.
We open up a map while we're on the phone, and there's like there's Route 66 or whatever.
Which do you think it's? Do you think we're better off in Florida in 1974 or in Central Texas in 1974? As the starting point, because one of us has to get to the other first, right?
Yeah, we could meet in the middle.
In the middle, but that's then where though. Do you go from there? Like now we're in the middle of the United States.
We're nowhere.
Yeah. Like, at least if we go to Florida, then we're on the East Coast. And at least you come to Texas, you're, like, halfway to California. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. In the middle, we're just, like, in Alabama. And, like, great, now we're in Alabama in 1974.
I think we should meet up in Texas, probably.
Okay.
Because, like you said, it's closer to California.
Okay, so I think we're going to California. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
So you come over, hitchhike, and then we go to, like, a local diner that I've scoped out since I've been around in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we break out the map and we get to I feel like this is like Back to the Future right now.
Yeah.
But whatever, that took place in the 50s, it's fine. And then we talk to the bar guy and we're like, two chocolate malts, please.
Chocolate malts.
And he's like, here you go. And then we like break our map out and he's like, then we're like, what do we have to ask him a question about, like, you know, what we should do.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta ask the friendly bartender guy. Yeah, like, listen, is there any way a couple of guys like us can... A
couple of strapping guys.
Get some money.
Get some and work then he probably thinks here.
We're like prostitutes or something.
Oh, God. We're like, anyway, some strapping lads like us could get some work around here.
That's what we say, yeah.
That's what we say. And then he's like, yeah, I hear they're hiring over at the blah, blah, blah. Farm or something.
Burger Paradise or something.
Burger Paradise. But then we have to work for a burger place. New plan. Okay. This is 74. So it's like kind of getting off the hippie movement, but they're still around, right?
Yeah.
We got to find them and we got to carpool with them to wherever they go.
Yeah,
and
we got to ride with the hippies to California.
Yeah. Yes. That's the new plan.
Okay. That's a good plan.
Yeah, because that way, we don't have to think about money.
And I mean, also, like, appearance-wise, I think we both kind already, of fit in with the already, hippie look from the 70s.
We're already right there. Yeah. We just need to change our clothes a little.
Yeah.
But, yeah. General appearance-wise, we're already, like, right on board. So we find one of those big VW things, and they're like, hey, you guys going to the Grateful Dead concert or whatever?
In California.
And they're like, yeah, duh. And we're like, let's go. And then we go. And then we find work there as, like, burger flippers or something, you know?
I think once we get to the concert, we can find a way to make ends meet with the people there.
Sure. Sure.
I bet you we could figure something out.
Okay. I like this plan. If this ever happens, we know what to do now, I guess. Yeah. We have a solid plan. The only thing is I don't understand is, like, whenever people go back in time, they always know where they're going. They're like, oh, there's a diner over there. Or like, oh, there's a guy that is willing to take me in his car across the country over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know where to do these things now in 2017, yeah. Much less in 1974, you know? Like, there's no GPS. Like, I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
Yeah, that would be the hardest part, is just kind of getting people to trust you.
Well, and also figuring out where you're supposed to, like, go to do... Like we get to Central Texas, and then you're like, all right, we need to go to a diner. And I'm like, I don't know where any diners are.
We just, like, walk down the street until...
Yeah, like, what do? Like, just walk around until you find one. You're like, oh, there's one. And then when you're trying to, like, hitchhike to California, like, well, we're going to find a hippie van. It's like, well, where are those? Like, I don't know. We'll just walk around until we find one. There's got to be someone around here somewhere. Like, I don't know. It's a strange issue, I guess. But it'll work. It would work. Okay. You have an extra $500 to frivolously spend each month. You cannot invest or save it. What do you spend it on?
If I have to spend it?
You have to spend it. You can't not spend it.
Food. Probably.
Food.
So just eat, like, more sushi.
Go in, like, a fancy restaurant once a month or something like that? Or a few times a month?
Yeah, probably.
That's a good answer. I was going to say something else, but I like that better. Because then you could treat yourself, like, every Saturday night or Friday night or whatever.
When I go to a restaurant, I usually don't order, like, alcoholic drinks because they're too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I would
but
just
if you had an extra 500, boom.
Extra 500, I'll have whatever your good drink is.
Yeah. $20? Sure, do it. Let's have it.
knock it out of the park.
Let me have two of them. Why not?
Give me two at once.
Give me a double, right? Isn't that what they say? Give me a double. Yeah, I'd probably do food, too. I was going to say, like, collecting something, but food might be more.
Collecting something would be cool, but I like to, like, eat things.
I like to eat things, too.
Yeah. I would probably be, I would probably gain weight if I had an extra 500 that I needed to spend every month.
What is something you keep telling yourself you'll do but never end up doing?
Everything.
I know, right? Like, everything. What do you have something in mind?
Unpacking.
Wow, you're still packed.
I've still got some boxes, yeah.
I was going to say be not socially awkward all the time, but you know that's never going to happen, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's not something that you can just like decide to do. I mean, maybe you can, but
it's something I always tell myself, like today's going to be different. there's this like what is it? I don't know. It's like a song or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's about someone like getting up every day and being like, yep, today's the day that I'm going to be a different person and I'm not going to be annoying and I'll like say what's on my mind and it'll be great. And then it's like, well, that didn't work. Next day I'll do it. I feel like that all the time. So that's what I keep telling myself. Like, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a better human being today. It's like, nope. No, you're not.
No, you're not.
And then tomorrow you're going to say you're going to do the same thing and not going to do it.
And then you're like reminded extra of all the reasons that you're not that human being you want to be.
It sucks, man.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And then like in the moment, like when you have to make a decision where you're like, better me would do this. This is my chance. Yeah, this is my chance. You're like, this is my chance. Better me would do this. And then you're like, not today he wouldn't. No. Better me is... Better me will have another chance.
Know what happened an hour ago.
Like, better me will have another chance to do that later. Some other day.
Yeah. Better me had a better day leading up to this, so... He can't actually say that he would do the thing that better me would do.
We're being very vague, but I am like completely on the same page as you right now.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Yeah, you're just like, oh, here's my chance. And you're like, never mind. Do you have any questions?
Any questions? Yeah, I have some. Yeah.
I have a few more. You said you had a good one.
I got mine from the other Reddit, the bad one.
Ask.
Yeah. So, first question is, we're really good at this. What is a good, funny username that goes with melon?
This can go many bad ways, I feel.
Let's just any way you want.
The first thing I thought of is watermelon, because it's a watermelon, but that's like the stupidest answer.
Yeah, watermelon is surely taken.
I'm sure it is.
Whenever I'm thinking of like a new like username, for some reason the word master always comes to mind.
Master Melon?
No, Melon Master.
Oh, Melon Master. Or Master Melon. I think they're both good.
Yeah, Master Melon is
okay, good. So here's what we do. You're Melon Master, I'm Master Melon.
Oh, okay.
And then we have to have a number at the end. Melon Master 64, that's me.
MM, that's like a... Are there numbers that look like M's? No.
No, not really. Melon Master 64, that's me. Because I like Nintendo 64. And duh!
I'm Master Melon. My brain immediately goes to 69420 or 666.
Like, do it. 69420.
All of them. 69420666. All of them. I'm hitting all the... checking all the boxes.
That's like the most, like, teenager name I've ever heard in my life. Master Melon 69420XXX. And the X's are, like, one's capital and one's, like, lowercase or whatever, right? Are there X's on both sides, though?
Of course.
XXX, Master Melon 69420XXX.
Kids these days don't know what a good screen name is.
Coming at you. That's, like, a great screen name.
Yeah.
Master Melon. If everyone in the world got a superpower overnight, but they were all really trash, what would yours be?
I
What would your bad superpower be?
I can I don't know, really trash one.
Yeah, like really bad.
I don't. Do you have one? I can't think of a good one.
No, I think I have all the superpowers that are trash already. Actually,
yeah,
spilling things on myself really well, hyperanalyzing every situation I've ever been in. You know, stuff like that.
I can talk myself out of meeting new people really well.
Oh, I can do that too.
Extremely good at that.
You know, giving myself social anxiety for no reason. All these things I can do really well. I already have the superpower. This is an interesting question. What is one thing you're proud of but do not have anyone to tell it to? I have, like, a thing that I'm proud of. That I few people know, but I'm very proud of it. I just have no excuse to tell people about it.
Yeah.
When I was on my first job, I had a group of coworkers. There was two or three of us, and we would all go out to lunch every day. Well, not every day, but three or four times a week, and we could never decide on where to eat. So I developed this cool metagame thing that we played in order to decide how to go out to eat, and I called it the lunch constitution. I don't really know why I called it that, but I did. And the game was basically just, in the beginning of the week, everyone, we all list all the restaurants in town that are potential, and then everyone gets three votes, and they can put their vote, they can distribute their vote any way they want on any of the restaurants. And you could do three on one restaurant you want to go to, or you could do one on one, one on another, and one on another.
Yeah.
And then every day before you go to lunch, you get one extra vote to put wherever you want. And then the restaurant with the most votes, you're forced to go there. And the cool thing about the game is it developed into a really weird psychological strategy game where we'd make a lot of backroom deals with each other to be I'll vote for Arby's if you got my back tomorrow and vote for some other place or whatever, right? And it became this cool weird metagame that we would play without playing it, because we would always be thinking about what do I want to vote for this week, because if I vote too much on this thing, then I have no sway in the next couple days or whatever, you know. So it was this fun strategy game that we had.
You've told me about that game before. It sounds really cool.
It is really fun, and it's I don't know, it's dirt simple, but the interactions that come out of it are just really fun, you know. The game isn't as fun as the fun weird strategies that you develop outside of the game to try to weasel your way into the restaurant you want to go to. And that's really fun, and I don't know, I'm proud of it a lot. It's probably the most proud I am of something I've ever made, but I don't really tell a lot of people about it because it's not important in any way. But and also I think when I tell people, they're that sounds dumb, but I'm no, trust me, try it, it's really fun and cool. But you know, I don't know,
I've done some smaller things that I'm proud of that I've never really told anyone about. I've told you about this. I made a Twitter bot that I'm kind of proud of.
You have. You have a really cool Twitter bot that we should totally talk. You should tell people about it right now.
I kind of want to let it incubate a little bit more first, because I'm still adding to it. But So my original idea was to create a Markov chain bot that would sound like Philip K. Dick and kind of tweet things he would say. And I ran into a problem with that because the IDE I was using, my computer would need to be on all the time for it to
to be the server.
Yeah, and that got old really quick, because I don't want to keep my computer on all day while I'm not at home.
Buy a server, but yeah, I got you.
Or unless I bought a server, which I'm not going to do that.
Right.
So kind of the solution that I've come up with recently is I'm using Google Apps Script to basically make Google do my Twitter bot for me. And I've had it running for a week now, and it just constantly tweets about horses and animals. that's a cool thing that I've done.
It's a cool bot, though. All right, so next week or whenever you're ready, you can reveal it to our listeners. But I like it. I think it's cool.
I'm thinking of posting a tutorial to some forum sometime, because it's people could just copy my code and change one or two things, and everyone would have their own Twitter bot.
Yeah. That's cool.
I would like to release it and create like a bot network that can influence topics.
That sounds awesome. You should do that.
That would be cool. Another thing that I'm kind of proud of is sometimes in my free time, there's a project online called Zebrapedia, and it's like freelance translating Philip K. Dick written pages. And I've done that with a significant number of pages.
How do you translate stuff? You don't know any other
one. Not translate, but transcribe. Because like, in the last years of his life, he wrote down like 100,000 pages worth of just
insane ramblings. Oh, and they're not digitized.
Yeah, they're not digitized.
Okay, that's cool. I need to look at that because that sounds fun. I would do that.
Yeah. It's one of those little weird things I do in my downtime, like looking at air traffic controller things.
And eating a Chick-fil-A
game and eating game day platters.
Do you want to get into trivia now?
Let's do it.
All right. I think it's your trivia time today.
It is.
So, sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
All right. I'll have you choose three lifelines.
Okay.
Should I tell you what they are?
Yeah, you have to list all of them. That's important to the trivia.
You can choose 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, 40-second Ask, 50-50 Monty Hall, Phone a Friend, Rhyme Time, or...
Ask a rando. I'm going to go with 40-second Ask, Monty Hall, and Phone a Friend. Boom, locked in.
Your first topic of the day is linguistics, I guess.
Oh my god, this is complicated already. All right, I'm ready.
Which of these is an old-fashioned term for tomato?
Okay. Tomato.
Tomato, if you will. Is it A, a love apple? B, a dream orange. C, a darling cherry. Or D, a saucy banana.
What the fuck? None of these sound real.
One of them's real.
Okay. I'm going to say it's not saucy banana.
What makes you say that?
Two out of left field. Because saucy, and it doesn't even look like a banana. It just doesn't make any sense. If it's saucy banana, I'm going to throw my table across the room. So we got love apple.
Mm-hmm. Dream orange.
Dream orange.
Darling cherry.
Or darling cherry.
Or saucy banana.
Or saucy banana, which is not. I'm going to 40-second ask this one.
Okay.
Ask.com. So the question is, what is the original name of tomato?
What is the an old-fashioned term
old for tomato? Old-fashioned term for tomato. Okay. I'm ready whenever you are.
Ready, set, begin.
What is old-fashioned term for tomato? This is not working. None of these...
Did I stump ask?
Shit. None of these are working. There's nothing!
You've got a little bit of time.
Tomato, heirloom versus hybrid. Creole myths. Do you think Wikipedia will know?
You better hurry.
You've no, got like 10 it won't seconds. Know! Shit! 10. Archaic words. Oxford Dictionary.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, got it. Love apple. Final answer, love apple.
Love apple is correct.
Whew, that was real close. I clicked on this thing that was like archaic words, Oxford Dictionary, and then when I had 5 seconds left, I did a quick control F for tomato. I'm allowed to do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. That was close, man. That was the closest.
Love apple is the old-fashioned term for a tomato.
That's a dumb name.
It's a terrible name.
Next question.
Next question is sailing.
Are you all right over there?
Yeah, I'm good. Which of these is a traditional Asian sailing vessel?
Okay.
Is it A, garbage?
Wait, what?
B, junk. C, scrap. Or D, trash.
What? Wait a minute. What?
Which of these is a traditional Asian sailing vessel? It's either A, garbage, B, junk, C, scrap, or D, trash.
Oh my god. Okay. I guess I'll do a Monty Hall.
Okay.
And I'm going to lock in scrap. Kind of sounds non trashy in a capacity, so I'm going to lock in scrap. No. I'm not going to lock in scrap. I'm going to lock in junk. Yeah, I'm going to lock in junk.
Okay. The answer is either B, junk, or C, scrap.
Damn it! Those are the two I was hoping that it wasn't. Those are the two that I was like, it could be one of these, but I don't know which. I should have locked in garbage. I should have locked in garbage.
It's not garbage.
I figured that out already. Yes. Man, I should have locked in garbage. I didn't think that through very well.
It's okay.
Because garbage was the obvious non-one.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I put junk that in to confuse you.
Those both sound very possible. Junk or scrap. I'm going to go with scrap. That was my initial. Okay.
Scrap is incorrect.
Damn it. It was junk.
Junk is a traditional Asian sailing vessel.
Should have locked in garbage. All right, next question.
Last question is proverbs.
I like proverbs.
So, according to the proverb, what does the hand that rocks the cradle do? Does it A, rules the world, B, makes the sea, C, sweeps the floor, or D, wakes the baby? It does one of them.
The problem is, like, I've heard this proverb, but I have no idea what it does.
What the hand does?
Yes. My first thought was, like, the hand that rocks the cradle robs the grave. I don't know why.
That's terrible. Do you know how bad that is?
That was, like, my first thought. I'm like, oh, it robs the grave. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, so sweeps the floor. Wakes. Does something with the sea.
Yeah. Hmm? It's either rules the world, makes the tea, sweeps the floor.
Makes the tea?
Yeah, or wakes the baby.
I feel like it has to be wakes the baby, right? Right? And the rocks the cradle wakes the baby.
I can't tell you.
I'm going to use my phone, a friend.
Okay.
Okay. Megan, I need you for a trivia question. What does the hand that rocks the cradle do, according to the proverb? Is it sweeps the floor, wakes the baby, what are the other ones?
Makes the tea.
Makes the tea.
Or rules the world.
Or rules the world.
The hand that rocks the cradle?
Rocks the cradle.
Well, wakes the baby makes the most sense.
Right? Right? Yeah, so that's what you would do.
Because if you're rocking the cradle, what happens is there's a baby in it.
Okay, well, yeah, we're going with wakes the baby. It makes the most sense.
Wakes the baby is incorrect.
What? What is it?
It's rules the world.
That doesn't even make sense. So the person that rocks the cradle rules the world?
Because you're like, the baby is the future of the world, kind of.
Oh, so the baby is like...
Yes, God, you took it literally.
I just had a terrible thought.
What?
Should I say it on the air?
You should just say it.
I said, oh, so the baby is Hitler.
Yes, exactly. Oh, at one point he was the baby in the cradle.
Okay, so it's like the future generations kind of deal. I get it. I don't. What proverb site was this? Is this like fakeproverbs.com or
no,
something like
that's
that?
A real proverb.
Okay, all right. I trust you. So how did I do? Did I do 2 out of 3?
You got 1 right.
Oh my god, that's really bad.
They were hard trivia.
You really took them. You really made them really tough today. I feel like
I got these from a hard trivia site.
Hardtrivia.com. All right, we have time for like a question or two more. I think I have one more, and you have one more, maybe, and we can call it. What do you think?
I have a couple. Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Do you want a gross one or a funny one?
I want both of them.
Okay. Gosh. Why are there always strands of pubic hair in male urinals?
Okay.
Yeah, we went there.
Was that a gross or the funny one?
That was a gross one.
That's actually a great question. I don't know the answer to
Who
that.
Who are these people? These
I don't know. Are
terrorists?
They like shedding hair or something?
I think they're like getting their hair and throwing it.
Are they trimming it as they're like urinating or something like that? Like what, how do you get it in there?
It's always there though.
Personally,
there's always like a lot of it.
I know. Personally, I know for a fact I'm not like shedding a lot of hair down there. Like, I think I would know that, you know, much less in the urinal. Like, how does it get there? How does it fall off?
I think it has to be intentional.
How? What are they plucking it out and throwing it in there?
Yes.
Why would anyone do that?
What other explanation is there? Like, how do you get hair out of your trousers into the urinal if you're not...
The only other explanation is they urinate in the urinal. And then they do, like, a really big shake.
Aggressive shake.
Very aggressive shake. And it's so aggressive that, like, one of the hairs that's, like, loose. Like,
they just go and buck wild at the urinal, just like... It
falls off. Like, you know, like the shake your hips kind of dance? Oh, they do that, basically, at the urinal.
I've never seen anyone do that.
Well, they're doing that. And then the loose strands fall into the urinal. And then they're like, well, there you go. And then they leave. And they flush and they leave. The only other explanation I can think of
is just gross saboteurs.
Well, they're not even sabotaging. They're just... They're shaking violently.
Well, I mean, if they're doing it intentionally. If they're intentionally, like, being like, here, I'm...
But maybe they just need to shake that much. We haven't talked about this on the show. I mean, some people need to shake a lot to loosen the... I'm glad we're getting into this in the last 10 minutes.
No one's going to make it this far into the episode.
That's true. We can just talk about the bathroom, whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, men, generally, some men, myself included, have to, you know, shake a little to, you know, get all of it out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And some, I think, need to do it more than others. What?
I mean, it's gosh. There's so many things I want to say, but they're all just gross.
And some need to do it more than others. So the ones that need to do it more than others are the ones with all the pubic hair and the urinals. That's my point. That's the thrust of my argument.
Okay.
The thrust of my argument, if you will.
If you will, yes.
Why, do you disagree?
I think it's people are intentionally like pulling it, their hairs and like throwing them in there.
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting, but I think that's what people do.
That's nefarious, I will say. That's very nefarious.
Yeah, because there's never any hairs in the toilets.
You're right. There's not. Why would there be? That doesn't make any sense.
There's always hair on the urinal. That's gross. It's disgusting.
Okay. It's always on the urinal, too. Yes. It's like on the thing. It's like, why is this on? Shouldn't it be in, if anything? Like, how does it get stuck? This is the most disgusting thing we've ever talked about. How does it get, like, stuck on the edge where it's, like, sitting there? And, like, no matter how many times you go to that urinal, that strand will be there for the end of time. You know what I mean? Because no one's going to clean that up because they don't want to, you know?
Yeah.
Urinals are disgusting.
Yes.
They're the most disgusting invention I think mankind has ever made. Toilets aren't as disgusting because you flush a toilet and it goes away. And they clean toilets. Urinals, I feel like the impetus isn't as much to clean it. It's like, well, whatever. You just pee on it, so who cares?
It's basically a tree.
Yeah, it's like, you pee on it, doesn't matter. We don't need to clean that. And then they just, you pee on it, and it's just like, it's covered in pee 24/7. Like, no matter what. Like, a toilet is covered in pee sometimes, and then it's clean, and it's fine. A urinal, go up to a urinal, any urinal, guarantee you it's covered in urine. Like,
100% the whole thing, time. Top to bottom.
Yeah, and it's also probably has a bunch of hair on it. And the floor directly under the urinal, covered in urine as well.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, they're shaking like crazy. The urine is also going everywhere.
They're aggressively shaking to get all their pubic hairs out under the urinal and also get the pee all over the floor and stuff. Aren't you glad we're talking about this in the last few minutes of the show? Also, another gripe I have with people with urinals, they have no frickin' aim. Like, men have no aim, like, at all. They think they have great aim, but they have the worst aim. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, it's hard. Really, there's not, like, a sight. There's not a scope.
Of course it's hard. But, like, you gotta, at some point in your life, you have to realize, like, oh, I have bad aim. Maybe I need to get closer or...
Be proactive.
Like, be proactive about this. But no, they're like, eh, whatever. It's just a urinal. It's he goes everywhere anyway. Like, have you noticed they have some urinals that are like short to the floor, like down to the floor?
Yes.
You know? I hate those.
Those are horrible.
Why do those exist?
Yeah.
Is it just to make you feel bad when you completely miss the urinal? Like, is that the point?
That's the challenge urinal.
It's like
it's hard mode.
It's like, I want to challenge myself while I go to the bathroom today. I'm going to see if I can make it all the way in there without splashing anywhere else. And, like, it's hard to do. Have you ever seen someone go into the bathroom? There's three urinals. Two of them are normal-sized, you know, level to your crotch urinals. And then one is, like, the little, like, short to the floor. The
challenge mode.
And the guy goes over and does the challenge mode urinal. It's like, why are you doing the challenge mode urinal? Like, what do you want to pee on the floor or on the wall or anywhere else? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know.
I want to survey 100 men about their bathroom habits to figure out what the hell is going on
in there.
In their brain when they do, yeah, in the bathroom when they're doing it.
We need to figure out what's going on in there.
We really do. I don't understand it. You don't talk about this with other men. You're like, when they come back from the bathroom, like, how was it? Well, I know we do. We're comfortable with it. But, like, when your buddy comes back from the bathroom, like, how, you're not like, how was it? Did you pee in the urinal? Did you make it all the way? Did you miss? Like, you don't talk about that.
Yeah.
But I want to know, because clearly there are people out there that are bad at the entire bathroom experience,
mm-hmm.
that are going through life completely fine with it.
And they're making it worse for everybody else,
and they're making it worse for literally everyone else in the world. Yes. And then you got the people that pee on the seat, which is probably the most frustrating thing.
Why are you going into the toilet stall if you're just going to do the urinal dance?
If you're going to go in the toilet to pee, sit down. If you're not, go to the urinal. That's what the urinal's for. You know, if you're going to pee all over the place, at least do it on a urinal that is already covered in urine.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You might as well do it there. We're all expecting it to be at the urinal already. I have strong opinions about this. Clearly.
I know. Yeah.
Clearly. Because I'm a sitter. So I need to... people need to respect. All right. We have time for... one. No, we don't. We don't have time. We talked about urinals for 5-7 minutes. That has been episode. Any final thoughts before we leave the show?
Oh, no. I think that's a good point to leave on.
Okay. If you're going to pee, either sit down or have good aim. The end. That's the thrust of this episode. This has been episode 54 of the Time Bat Show. I've been Time Aces. I've been your host, Time Aces.
And I've been your co-host, Bat Snacks.
Who's our sponsor today, Bat Snacks?
Today's show is sponsored by...
Morty's. Wasn't it Morty's Fine Chicken and Chicken Byproducts?
It's the chicken byproducts that you really... the best.
I think it was... I'm looking at my notes. It was Morty's Fine Chicken and Chicken Byproducts.
Okay.
When you need chicken, choose Morty's. So, remember, everyone, I hope you've had a great episode 54. It's been a good one, I think.
Yeah, it's been a good one.
This is a good stopping point. Everyone, remember,
when you're drinking iced tea,
don't be the bee's knees. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Drive safe.
Drive safely.